So good morning to you all. And I, this morning I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009 era, the Section 317 component. And this, I think, is something that probably is quite familiar to most of you, and hopefully many of you have been recipients of some of this funding. And so I thought I would just provide a little bit of an overview of how we put the project together, how the pieces fit together, and a little bit about where it's going. So the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act was signed into law on February 17, 2009. It emphasizes transparency and accountability. It required merit-based selection of recipients, and there is funding over two fiscal years, so all the funding has to be obligated by the federal funding agency, us in this case, by September 30th of this year. Now, for the Section 317 part specifically, as you know, the ERA funding provided $300 million directly to CDC's Section 317 program. And this funding arrived in the context of a number of very particular things at a particular time, and I thought I would just go over some of the relevant aspects which we considered as we were putting the project together. First of all, as I think many of you know, there have been a lot of financial pressures on the Section 317 programs. Lots of increase in the cost to vaccinate children, especially, which causes programs to incompletely implement new vaccines for children. And the affected vaccines and the way this works varies across states. And then on the operations side, declining state budgets are leading to reductions in health department staff and clinic hours, and this also varies substantially by state. Lance, do you want me to stop and show you how to do that? Okay. Oh, hand signals are good. Okay. This is just one slide that reflects some of this issue of the financial pressures on the 317 program. This is a figure which shows funding for the VFC program in pink and for the Section 317 program in blue from 1990 to 2009, and shows this huge increase in VFC funding reflecting the additional vaccines and their cost, and relatively flat Section 317 funding. Health departments in the context of this recession have been hit very hard, and these are results of a NACHO survey in 2008 and 2009, which show the very considerable proportion of local health departments reporting various negative effects of budget cuts on their staffing and operations. Now, the other bit of context for the Section 317 era projects is the context of the vaccines that have become available and were recommended by ACIP, particularly during the second half of the last decade. And this is a table of all of the new vaccines and indications considered and voted on by the ACIP in 2005 to 2008, and you can see that there were a lot of new recommendations for a lot of new vaccines. And this obviously had a big effect on our immunization program, which we were hoping to characterize as part of our objectives in the 317 era project. One other piece of background that I think we found very useful is that we really used the Section 317 report to Congress as a foundation for our spend plan for the ERA project. This was something that was familiar to Congress and had provided a foundation. This is an annual estimate of the, quote, optimum state and local operations funding, as well as CDC operations to support immunization programs. We've delivered one of these since 2007 in every year, and as you can see for FY09, report to Congress identified a funding gap of about $760 million. So let's turn to the Recovery Act in particular. These were some of the objectives that we laid out for this project at the beginning: to implement some of those vaccines that have been incompletely implemented by the grantees, to promote an integrated approach that incorporates the scientific foundation, policy, and program, monitoring and evaluation, communication, education, and vaccine delivery, to address some of the uninsured children and adults who are not getting vaccinated, to support the operations infrastructure and identify best practices to evaluate the effectiveness of newly implemented vaccines, and I'll talk a little bit about more about that in a few moments, and to strengthen safety and coverage monitoring. So the project was divided into four large categories. As I said, this is $300 million over 2 years, and that represents about a 25% increase in Section 317 funding. So this is actually a considerable amount of additional funding for immunization. So there are four broad categories. The first is reaching more children and adults with recommended vaccines, exploring innovative approaches to vaccination, augmenting communication and provider education efforts, and strengthening the evidence base for immunization. This is how the money breaks out. So there's $250 million for this reaching more component, and this is money that was allocated to all of the 64 grantees for a mixture of program operations and vaccine. Innovative initiatives, and I'll talk a little bit about one of those in a little bit later. Some communications projects, which I'll also explain, and 21 some odd million for strengthening the evidence base. I'll also go into that in some more detail. So what were we looking at in terms of what to address with the Reaching More immunization program part of the project? Well, as I mentioned, the vaccine use has increased a lot. Operations funding has grown a lot less. There are fewer dollars, and the environment is generally difficult. At the same time, there are state budget declines, and local public health in particular is struggling with a lot of budget cuts. So the opportunities afforded by the Reaching More aspect of the project were that states actually could determine their vaccination projects. This is flexible funding. They can address whatever their particular priorities are in state and localities, and it provides for the best fit in a local health department environment. Many different projects have been proposed, and in fact, many different projects have been implemented, and I have been hearing a little bit about some of the things that people have been up to at this meeting. Some TDAP projects for cocooning, there have been some healthcare worker projects, some efforts to reach uninsured children and adults, school-based seasonal influenza vaccination, keeping on staff that was about to be lost, really a whole array of projects, and really we're very happy to hear about that because that's precisely what we were hoping that people were going to be able to do with this money. Now, I said I wanted to mention one of the innovative projects, and that's what we're calling the Billables Project. Anne showed you this slide during her plenary on Monday, and these are the 14 grantees that are funded for this Billables Project, which is to improve reimbursement in public health department clinics. And the idea here is that in many health department clinics, they don't have a capacity to bill for if people come to the clinic for vaccination who have private insurance, which covers vaccination. The health departments don't have a way to bill those private insurance companies. And so this project was built on a project that was conducted in Oregon some time ago. This is just one table from the project, and the citation is there. And essentially what they did was develop the capacity to bill private insurance, and as you can see, they overall saved about a third of their $317 by implementing this project and have a long list of many, many things that they were able to do with the extra 317 money that they freed up, which really expanded the scope and the impact of the 317 program. So this is what we're hoping to get other states working towards with this Billables Project, and the outcomes of this project will be plans that can be executed, a revenue stream to sustain public health, similar to what they were able to do in Oregon, lessons that we can then hopefully provide to other states to help them in similar situations, and this provides a way to kind of stabilize this public-private immunization effort going forward. Now, I'm just returning to this table I showed a little while ago because the next things that I'm going to talk about are very much focused on kind of finishing the job that comes after the ACIP makes recommendations for new vaccines and new policies and they're implemented. And our work doesn't stop there. But we oftentimes are a little bit strapped for figuring out ways to really complete the job, and the ERA project has provided a big opportunity for that. One way is in the context of communications, and of course, as we all know, with more vaccines and a more crowded schedule, there are lots of additional questions and work that needs to be done for people to feel comfortable about getting their children vaccinated. And so the ERA project has a large component of communications and education, including a big project called Immunization Across the Lifespan, which will involve lots of different sorts of activities focused on children, adolescents, and adults. There's a particular project promoting influenza vaccination among Hispanics, a project about new media and e-health, and then a large component of education and training targeting a bunch of different areas, including health departments, some specific programs for nurses, some programs for medical residents, and other providers. Now, finally, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the aspect of the ERA project, which we call strengthening the evidence base. And essentially, this has to do with the science underlying vaccination policy and vaccination programs. First, you know, vaccine policy setting is evidence-based. We have to know about the disease burden, about safety and efficacy of the vaccines. There are economic considerations and a whole array of pieces of information that the ACIP needs in order to make some kind of decisions about policy. But then after the policy is made, there's a lot of work that still needs to be done for post-licensure monitoring to evaluate the program implementation to see how we're doing, not only in terms of vaccination coverage and implementation, but what's the effectiveness of the program, what's the impact of the program. And this helps us with understanding what the value of the policy has been as it's been implemented and whether it needs to be adjusted. So I'm not completely immune to showing things that are close to my heart, as Lance mentioned. And I just threw this slide in to show an example of what the potential impact of implementation of immunization policy can be. But these kind of data don't appear out of the sky. We have to have the capacity to collect them and develop them. And you can see how a story like this might be extremely powerful going forward in terms of understanding the benefits of vaccination. So with the new vaccines, the ones that were recommended in the second half of the last decade, there are actually some additional kind of complications to get to the point of being able to provide the kind of data I just showed for hepatitis A. These are, the surveillance is quite complicated. We need active and enhanced disease surveillance with laboratory confirmation so that we can characterize the circulating strains and the serotypes and groups. We need that in order to understand the impact of the vaccines. And this requires a fair amount of technical assistance, and that's where we headed with the ERA project. So the vaccine effectiveness and impact projects are time-limited evaluations of recently recommended and implemented vaccines, including, it's not actually EG, it's IE, rotavirus, HPV, meningococcal conjugate vaccine, PCV13, the second dose, two-dose varicella, and zoster. And also for improved detection and lab confirmation of vaccine-preventable diseases. You saw this slide also on Monday, and this is an example of what we can do with in terms of demonstrating impact. What we've done with the ERA project is to expand the number of sites that are doing rotavirus surveillance from 3 to 6, and this is going to allow us to get estimates of vaccine effectiveness and strain-specific information, which we need in order to really evaluate the program. We have a project with the American APHL, American Public Health Laboratory Association, to help public health labs with diagnostics for vaccine-preventable diseases. As I mentioned, accurate diagnosis is really important, but often the state and local health departments don't have the assays and don't have a way to understand them or learn about them. And so this project involves improving capacity and doing training and support and evaluating needs. And this has actually been an extremely a popular project. We've already completed two training webinars, one about measles, mumps, one about pertussis, with over 800 participants. They've completed a needs assessment, and there are lots of plans for more training with lots of different modalities. As you all know, vaccination coverage is really important. We've got some great systems, but there are some gaps, and so we've looked to address those gaps with the ERA projects. We are expanding the parental concerns module to the teen survey. We have a number of projects focusing on improving our methods to understand vaccination coverage at kindergarten and exemptions, which are obviously really important for our programs, and some improvements in the Sentinel Vaccine Registry to help with tracking shortages. We have a couple of safety projects, which are kind of big things meant to strengthen our safety monitoring system, including updating the vaccine injury compensation table. And so that is a sort of a whirlwind tour of where we're going with the ERA project. I think we all feel that there are huge opportunities with the ERA project to fill critical short-term gaps in program operations, to build on existing activities and programs so we have the structure and the expertise in place to execute the projects and monitor their progress, to show long-term benefits of innovative projects, to show how if we fund innovation, what we can get for that, to provide evidence of the benefits of use of these newer vaccines. And we anticipate at the end of this that we will have field vaccine effectiveness estimates for most of these newly recommended vaccines and some evidence of impact, which we can use to characterize the impact of implementation of these policies. The ERA project provides an opportunity to show the evidence of benefits of integrated immunization program and how it works at the national, state, and local level, public and private sectors, and how we can integrate program, science, and policy to have the maximum public health impact. And we hope that at least in some ways the ERA activities provide a model that we can use going forward. And I think that's it for me. Thank you very much.